If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to open to Matthew chapter 5 for our sermon. We're going to be going through verses 3 through 12. If you're using the Pew Bibles, it should be on page 962 of the Bible in front of you. Hear now the word of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Thus ends the reading of God's holy, inerrant word. May its truth be ever written on our hearts. Let us pray. O Lord, we come before you and pray for your guidance. Help us to find Christ in this passage and to find ourselves in him and to rejoice in this time as we remember Bev, to find some hope to live without her and to continue living according to your word and your will. We pray this for our good and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So this passage is often called the Beatitudes. It's called that because in the old Latin translations of the Bible, the word blessed is translated beati, hence beatitudes. But in the original Greek, the word blessed is makarios. The word makarios is most often translated in the Bible as happy. Not happy as in hunky-dory, cheerful, kind of an emotional high, but happy, like a moment of truest contentment. Like the moment you hold your baby for the first time. Or maybe the moment you pay off your student loans. Or maybe the moment you get to gather with your family for the holidays and do all the things you love to do together. It's ultimately the idea of living in the fullness of God's good design. Over the last couple months, I had the privilege to spend some time with Bev. And it stood out to me when she said this was one of her favorite passages because she so often talked about how happy her life was, how blessed she felt. And so it stood out to me as we think about what it is to be blessed and happy. She would often refer to a poem called The Dash, which speaks about that dash in between the numbers on our gravestone, how that's what we're remembered for, and how we should be expected to be remembered. How great it is that Bev today is remembered for that dash, but how greater it is that each one of us will be remembered by God for that dash. The poem has a line that says, if we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand how other people feel. And so as we approach this passage and spend this time together today, that's what I want to encourage us to do. Let's take the time to slow down enough to consider what is true and real, and maybe by the grace of God, perhaps consider how other people feel. You see, we can approach this passage and actually see what it is to have a blessed life, to try to follow in the footsteps of for some time, to live a happy dash. And the thing that should stick out to you right away is these are not the kind of words, the kind of descriptors we normally think of for a happy life. In fact, for many, words like poor in spirit, mournful, and meek sound like the exact opposite of happiness. But the Beatitudes actually give us an entirely different picture of what the blessed life ought to look like. In fact, they're kind of broken up in four parts that work together. The first three are character traits. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are lost, who are weak, who are tired. Blessed are those who mourn, those who hurt, those who are sad and confused. Blessed are the meek, the lowly, the humble, the gentle, those who make themselves servants and lowly, like Christ, who had all riches in heaven, lowered himself, taking on the form of a man to be a servant. And when these traits come alive within us, they lead us to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to want to live according to God's good design. For who is righteous but God alone, says the scriptures. So to hunger and thirst for righteousness is to long for God's good design, to long for renewal in this broken world, and to also long for judgment for the things that are wrong and blessing to the things that are good. And so ultimately, to hunger and thirst for righteousness is to hunger and thirst for what God has done through Christ, his Son. And people who hunger and thirst for righteousness will then be enabled by the power of the Spirit to be merciful, because God showed them mercy on the cross. They're able to be pure in heart because God counts them clean before him because of the blood of Christ. They're able to be peacemakers because God made peace with them, and so they can make peace with others. But it ultimately is different in the world around us. When you're merciful, pure in heart, and peacemakers, you live an entirely different life than those who are not following Christ, who are not enabled to live the blessed life. And so there's a warning in these last two statements. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For people might revile you and persecute you and utter all sorts of falsehoods against you. And this is not necessarily a guarantee that they will happen. But as we think of the happy life, it automatically tells us that the blessed life isn't always nice. Sometimes there's sadness and sorrow. Sometimes there's suffering and persecution. But what's significant about the Beatitudes is none of these really describe us. I mean, we're people, we're humans. By nature, we're not poor in spirit. By nature, we don't like to mourn. By nature, we're not meek. By nature, we don't long for righteousness because it means there's some standard outside of us that we could be judged by. By nature, we are not merciful, pure in heart, or peacemakers, because according to Scripture, we are all sinners. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, says Romans 3:23. This is important because in the Bible, the opposite of blessing is cursing. So the opposite of the blessed life is the cursed life. And in essence, we're living in a curse. Curses happen whenever people live outside of God's command, live outside of God's good design, and that's what we call sin. And according to scriptures, the wages of sin is death. According to Genesis 3, when Adam ate that forbidden fruit, God cursed Adam and all of his descendants forever. That includes us here today. In fact, that's why we're gathered, because with that curse came death. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, so too death spread to everyone, for all have sinned, says Romans 5:12. So the reason why we die, the reason why we are here today, is because of a curse. It's not because of God's good design. This is not the way things are supposed to be. So it's the opposite of the blessed life. But Matthew 5 doesn't really describe us by nature. Do you know who it does describe? Jesus. In fact, every one of these Beatitudes is used to describe Jesus. Jesus is poor in spirit, Luke 23:46. Jesus mourns, John 11:35. Jesus is meek, Matthew 21:5. Jesus hungers and thirsts for righteousness, Matthew 3:15. Jesus is abundantly merciful, Luke 7:47. Jesus is pure of heart, John 6:45. Jesus is a peacemaker, Ephesians 2:14. And Jesus was persecuted for righteousness' sake, where on the cross people reviled him and uttered all sorts of falsehoods against him. Matthew 27. Brothers and sisters, the blessed life is actually meant to point us towards Jesus. The truly happy life can only happen in Jesus. And all the things that come out of the blessed life in this passage here in Matthew 5, the kingdom of heaven, comfort, the earth, satisfied righteousness, mercy, seeing God and being called sons of God, this all happens in Jesus. Ephesians 1 says, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. It goes on to say, in him, we have obtained an inheritance. All this blessed life that is promised to us, Jesus has already received in the ascension. All of these blessings belong to us in heaven. The kingdom, the comfort, the mercy, the righteousness, seeing God. This is actually exactly what's described in Revelation 21, the new heavens and new earth. And according to Ephesians 1, Jesus has already received this. And it is promised to us and sealed up for us for the day we return to him. And today we can rejoice that Bev has received her eternal reward. And you can too. You can receive all the blessings and all the promises of Scripture in Christ. All you have to do is repent of your sins and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and all this is counted to you. For if you truly want a blessed life, if you truly want a happy dash, you must be in Christ. For it is only Christ who lived a perfect life and died on our behalf, taking the curses of life upon himself, but then rising again, conquering the powers of sin and death, conquering the greatest curses. Because Jesus died the first fruits of new creation, that whoever dies with him will rise with him. And with that, we can have hope that by faith, we too can rise to an everlasting life. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you, O Lord, for Bev, who so graciously and nobly showed us the blessed life, a life of humility, a life of humbleness and service. And we pray, O Lord, give us strength to follow after her, to follow her as she followed Christ. And Lord, may we find ourselves in him, made alive in the hopes of new creation, knowing that he rose from the dead, and that if we believe upon him, we too will rise again to an everlasting life. May that give us hope today and tomorrow and for generations to come. Amen.